The Offside Rule. We get it with Lindsay Hooper.
Welcome back to the return of the Offside Rule podcast. We're back for another season. I know there's been a bit of a break, but we have got a new member joining us. We're going to talk all things football. It's our ladies' time to have a chat. Returning for another season, it's Kate Borsay. So thank you very much for turning up again, Kate.
My pleasure.
And we also have a new member to the fold, hopefully a regular to come, Hayley McQueen. We've seen your tweets. You're obviously very opinionated about football. This should be good fun.
I'm going to have to be careful, but thanks for having me.
Yes, you will have to be slightly careful.
Female take on football.
I think we should start out with some summer signings over the summer transfer window that have impressed, but also ones that have been a bit deflated. There's some managers scratching their heads, wondering what on earth they did parting with that cash. Kate Borsay, being our regular from last season, let's start with you. Who, first of all, impressed?
Cazorla, definitely. Santi Cazorla, Arsenal signing about £15 million from Malaga. He's turned out to be a great investment, hasn't he? He's just given me a little bit of hope back in Arsenal. Wilshire coming back too as well, hopefully very, very soon. I think the side now looks better balanced, especially since Fabregas left. You know, there was a massive gaping sort of hole there. And so he kind of fills that hole for me. Just a really lovely player to watch. He played against West Ham at Upton Park a couple of weeks ago, and he was absolutely lovely there. He's got balance, as I said, ability with both feet, vision, and a certain amount of creativity to him as well. I just think he's a lovely player to watch. He really excites me, and I'm really glad for Arsenal.
Now, before we start banging our negative drum, let's go on to the other impressive. Who's impressed you, Hayley?
Well, I could have gone for the obvious to maybe pick one of the Manchester United players, being a bit of a Manchester United fan. I say bit, I am a Manchester United fan, but I've gone for a Chelsea player, someone I put in my fantasy football at the start of the season. I picked quite a few new players because you can keep more of an eye on them. And I've been really impressed with Eden Hazard. I think he's been wonderful. Obviously, him being Belgium being in Scotland's group with the World Cup qualifiers. I've kept an eye on a few of their players. My goodness, they've got an unbelievable Belgian side at the moment. I think maybe one to watch in the World Cup as well. But lots of questions asked about Hazard. Massive, massive price tag on him coming to Chelsea. Was it £32 million? And when you have a player who's played in a league, like League One in France, which isn't Serie A, it's not La Liga, it's not the Bundesliga, you always wonder if they're going to be able to step up to the mark and really do it in the Premier League, where it's fast-paced and you require just that little bit more. I'll do a bit of research on him before the season comes up in my fantasy league players. Both his parents, check this out. His mum was an international footballer and she played for Belgian ladies. She played in the Belgian Premier League, actually gave up football when she gave birth to Eden, and then went on to have three other sons. He's got three brothers. They all play football. Another one of them has just signed for Chelsea at 19. And his dad as well was a professional footballer. They gave up the jobs and they're now both sports scientists. So I don't think there's any chance he's not going to go on to be somebody that is great and wonderful to watch.
So football obviously running through the blood in that family. And I've got to say, Hayley, I've got a hunch that you're ahead of me in the Fantasy Football League because it was only about 3 weeks in that I transferred Hazard in. A bit slow off the mark there. But another Chelsea player, maybe one that we could talk about next season if we have this chat again, is Oscar. His turn and swivel and that divine goal made my mouth water and just got me purely excited for the fact that the future for Chelsea looks very, very good indeed. And they're my tip to win the Premier League, actually. But I'll move on to mine. I'm going to my Wolves roots. You avoided your Manchester United roots, Hayley, but I always go with my Wolves roots, don't I, Kate? I'm going to go for Stephen Fletcher as a great purchase for Sunderland. 5 in 5, who'd have thought that? All of us Wolves fans, if we're honest and we put our hands on our hearts, when we got £12 million for Stephen Fletcher, we thought happy days. Matt Jarvis to go not long after, of course, as well, and we're getting a real, real cash cow. But actually, it just goes to show, I hate to say it being a Wolves fan, but with the quality around him and the delivery that's he's been having in the boxes, he is a striker that I've always think he can score with his left, his right and his head, and that's what you want from a forward, and he's proven to be a great purchase for Martin O'Neill at Sunderland, and I'm sure even Craig Levein now having to backtrack saying he'd never pick him again for Scotland, and of course he's been playing in the internationals as well, so go on Fletch. Negative time.
I'm a Liverpool fan, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to go with a Liverpool player. Not because I think he's an out-and-out duffer, but just because I'm upset that he now has an ankle injury and he's out for 3 months. I'm talking about Fabio Barini, bought for £10.5 million from Roma. He's only 21, so I'm giving him a hard time. Hayley's already gesturing me. He has scored once in the Europa League, but he was meant to be a real A real hope for us. And I'm upset for Brendan Rodgers and I'm upset for Liverpool because he just hasn't done the business. And he hasn't done the business when we really need him to. We've only got one fit striker now, Luis Suarez, certainly from our senior team anyway. So I'm going to elect Barini. He's only 21. I'm perhaps giving him a hard time, but I'm upset as a Liverpool fan that he's now out for 3 months.
I'm going to go with Andrew Johnson. He moved to QPR from Fulham this summer, so another striker. Someone who's gone out of sorts the last couple of seasons, and when Mark Hughes went for him originally, and then he's made this move obviously since all these changes over the summer at QPR, lots of it comings and goings. He was someone that I thought, you know what, I think he's had his day. Now, maybe I'm just cementing this poor guy's career, but he's now gone and done his cruciate knee ligament, is out for probably the rest of the season. QPR spending all this money on all these players. And there's a few of them actually at Loftus Road that I think might end up being a bit of a duff buy. So we'll see what happens with QPR. But Andrew Johnson's the one I'm picking out.
The female take on football.
So we'll move on. We've got a bit of an embarrassing story coming up. We always have the topic where we have a bit of a giggle. That's to come. First of all, non-league day. We're going to go with this because, first of all, I'm very passionate. And I was involved with non-league day last year because I was presenting some of the Blue Square Bet Premier footage. And it was great to see all the Premier League teams getting behind it, sending their fans to go and support non-league football. It's something I'm very passionate about. So I wanted to ask you, who is your favourite non-league side? Now, I'll get you up and running because I used to be an announcer at a non-league football club. This is not everybody will know this. A small contingent of the West Midlands will know this, but not everybody. So Chase Town Football Club used to be managed by Charlie Blakemore, and I happened to be there covering the 2007-08 season where they went on this fantastic FA Cup run and they got knocked out by Cardiff eventually under Dave Jones. But what a year it was. It was making all the headlines. The minnows from the West Midlands doing so well. And there I was in the rickety old box doing the announcing and sometimes getting the players wrong, actually, back then, as I was trying to announce them. I even got jeered once, like, it should go to Specsavers, something I shouldn't admit for my future career. But it was just a brilliant experience and a lovely family club who I wish every success in the future, and I do keep one eye on them. Kate, your non-league side.
Well, I'm going to go local. I'm a South East London girl, so I'm going to go Dartford, the Darts. What I love about Dartford is that they've been going since 1888, I think, but in 92, a bit like a lot of clubs, prior to 92, they had to put a lot of money into developing their stadium down at Watling Street, and because of the Bradford fire and because of that and various other things, they got into huge amounts of debt and they ended up having to sell off Watling Street. And they reformed in 1992, the Supporters Association all joined together and the club was relaunched. Because they kept their youth teams going, they were able to still be a member of the Professional Football League, and they've just grown and grown from there. So I think it's a really lovely story because from absolute desperate measures, they have come back. They're now in the Conference Premier. They are sixth in the table, having been promoted last season, doing really, really well. They've got a really good young signing called Harry Crawford, who's already banged in six in 12 games. So they're a club going places. They have really risen fairly quickly, if you think about them falling back in 1992 and having to start again, basically. They're a good club, a local club, and they really deserve it.
Okay, Hayley.
Yeah, my lower league side, opposite to Kate's, they're slipping down a little bit. They were in League Two. Macclesfield, the Silkmen. Being up in Manchester, I had friends who had an association with the club and friends who lived in Macclesfield who used to take me along. So Macclesfield were doing pretty well in League Two at the time when I was watching them regularly. It's a wonderful pitch. It's a lovely little ground. Like everybody says, there's always a real family atmosphere, real great crowds there as well. It was pretty much packed out for most home games that we went. One of the games in particular I remember, it was a really cold, miserable, dark January day. It was a couple of days after New Year, I think, when they drew Everton in the FA Cup. And I remember young Wayne Rooney's little brother, who was on the bench and was ready to come on. And I was thinking, oh, this could be really exciting. There's a Rooney who's coming up through the ranks, kind of hidden away at Macclesfield. So he didn't have too much pressure on him. But with a surname like Rooney, there's always going to be that pressure. John came on in the 89th minute. Everton actually only won 1-0 and they fielded a really, really strong team. But it was a game I was really excited about. I can't remember who Manchester United played at Christmas and New Year at that time. But it was always a great time to have a bit of time off work and go and watch lots of football. So that was one of my games, packed amongst a lot of them. And it wasn't the game at Old Trafford I was looking forward to, or the Riverside. It really was this one. It was really exciting. I mean, they had Anichibi, Jagielka, Leighton Baines, Fellaini, Tim Cahill, Arteta, Osman. It was a really strong side. And they won by just a goal. But another little story from there I remembered. Wayne Rooney lives really nearby. A lot of the Manchester United players get on the train at Macclesfield to head elsewhere with Manchester United. So his little brother and a cousin as well, Tommy Rooney, who I think is played for Macclesfield back in 2004-05-06. And Wayne Rooney used to want to drop his little brother off to go to training in a morning, which was just round the corner from where he lived in Macclesfield. But because he drove his blinged out car, whatever it was, a pimped up Range Rover or a Bentley or whatever it is that Wayne Rooney drives, I can't really remember, he used to have to drop him up the road because John was too embarrassed. Not embarrassed of his brother, but the fact that this big car was pulling up and there's all these lads in the little, you know, Volkswagen Golfs and your Polos and your regular cars that we all drive. So that was that.
The female take on football.
We'll move on to the most embarrassing matchday story. I'm going to start with you, Kate.
OK, well, I'm going to tell the story and then you can tell me whether I should reveal the name or not. But I'm not sure whether it's really particularly fair. Anyway, I went to go and see Spurs play another Premier League side, and I was kind of there for the other, as a guest of the other side. And we were in the little sort of room attached to the director, to the people sitting in the director's box. So the hospitality section of the director's box, basically. And the game was over and we went back in there to have a drink after the game. I think it was a draw. And I was stood with my back to the door, to the entrance door. And in walks...
She just gestured her bottom, by the way. You pointed your bottom in the air then. I'm wondering where this is going.
It's so good that this isn't a visual thing. So I'm stood there because I'm just playing it out in my head because I want to describe it without it seeming too bad. But I'm stood with my back to the door, and the manager of the other side who were playing Spurs came in. And I sort of saw out of the corner of my eye that he'd come in, and he gave me a little pat on the bottom. And I turned round and he looked at me as if to say, I didn't think that was you. He had no idea that it was me, but he just basically touched my bum up, thinking that I was probably his other half or someone else he knew. Anyway, it doesn't take much for this man to go red, and he went really, really red. And I also was completely embarrassed about it as well, because when on earth do you get your bum felt up by a Premier League manager, eh?
I don't know. Well, should we get her to reveal who?
No, we won't.
I've got to go back to 1990 for my most embarrassing match day story, I think, because I've been frequenting Molyneux for some years on and off. And it was an endeavour at Molyneux. I very much kept it to myself, as you would as about an eight-year-old child, when you know that Manchester United are coming to play for a friendly at Molyneux, which didn't happen very often back in those days, Hayley. Wolves, really, the heyday was the 50s, just so everybody knows. Anyway, we were very excited, and back at home, my uncle got tickets for myself and my cousin, and Ryan Giggs was my favourite player, and has stuck around, actually, in my top few lists for quite some years. And at 8 years old, you don't tell your uncle when he's got you some free tickets to go and see Manchester United against Wolves that you've got a sickness bug. So I got up that morning and was churning out all sorts in the bathroom thinking, I'm not missing this. So I didn't let on. Everyone asked if I was okay. And unlike when you're at school and you're like, I'm not very well, I was like, I'm absolutely fine and dandy. So we'll go along. And we were sat in the stands. My cousin, absolutely excited. I was out of my mind waiting to see Ryan Giggs warming up. And that's about all I did see, was him warming up, because then I was running to and from the toilets all game. My uncle was beside himself. He was holding my head between my legs at one point because I thought I was going to faint. It was just embarrassing. All these people around me. I then put my hand in the man's pie next to me. I mean, he thought I was contaminated and wasn't going to touch it for love nor money. I was so poorly. I can't even remember what I saw. I've got my ticket still, though, because I have a memory box and it's in there. And I was there. If anyone asked me, I was there. I can't remember what happened at all. Hayley, on to you.
Oh no, mine involves something similar along the theme of being sick. I worked Jamie Redknapp.
Hello, Jamie.
Would you like... We're talking about embarrassing match day stories.
Have a little chat to us quickly, too many to mention.
Thanks, Jamie.
That's
See you.
Yeah,
that was his input. Award-winning. Sorry about that, folks. Yeah, I worked for Middlesbrough Football Club, and I worked for Middlesbrough Football Club Television. And I worked as an assistant producer for a series of programmes called The Rory Roadshow, which was where the mascot went around meeting kids, and we basically took them various little trips. We ended up going to Amsterdam, had an absolute blast with them, but we had this big fun day where we had to introduce all the kids and their parents and guardians and sisters and brothers to the programme. So we had this day at the Riverside Stadium, which we had thought we planned very well. The only problem was the guy that normally plays Rory the Lion, that would step into the suit and have fun with all the kids, wasn't there. That's the one thing we'd forgotten. We had the suit, which is kept in a cage next to the police cells in the stadium, and we had Mark Clement, who was presenting and hosting, and everybody else literally was all hands on deck. I was the only one that wasn't doing anything because I was involved in the pre-planning and post-production, so I had to step into the suit. It was only for a matter of minutes because we didn't get him too involved. That would have just been unfair. So I put on this stupid suit. It was during the summer holidays. It was really hot. It was sweaty. It was disgusting. Had these giant comedy feet on. I put the head on. It has a giant big nose, and the only air vent is kind of at the end of the nose, and you have a little kind of bit that you look through the eyes. And it was so bad, and it smelt so horrific, and it had obviously been the same guy that used this all the time, that I literally just started to bork, and I could feel myself just going, and I could feel it, and it was getting hotter, and I felt sick.
Oh.
And I was actually sick in the nose, in the head
Inside
of the thing.
The head.
And I couldn't do anything because I couldn't take the head off because there was little kids there, the little sisters and brothers and family members of the kids who were coming along to be involved in the programme, and they would have been mortified that there was suddenly this headless lion. So I just had to get through it and literally ran out, and I was like, I will refuse to ever do anything like that again. I can't tell you how much it stank. There you go. So that's my story.
The Offside Rule. We get it with Lindsay Hooper.